All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 2026. About to date myself totally. I remember having a Big Chief tablet and a number two lead pencil and dating my, in first grade, 1968. Anybody else relate to that? Nobody. Okay. All right. So I'm the oldest guy in here, apparently. Hey, Brian, can you pull that up there for me? I could, but, you know, you talked about that heavy lift thing. So, yeah, here we go. So do it together. We're better together. All right. Takes a village. Not. Anyway, it's good to see everybody. I'm so pumped. I love New Year's. I get excited when we turn the page, you know, start a new chapter. I got my new day timer booklet. Yes, I still use one. And it felt really good writing on it for the first time. I know I'm weird. Can't help it. So as we get started, we're going to spend a little moment in prayer. But before we do that, I want to do something for you. First of all, we had a pretty big weekend on the global scene. And we're talking about this idea of cultural engagement and what it looks like to be involved. So I'm going to pull something up for you because I want to read this to you. This is from Adam Curry, my partner in crime. We do a podcast, by the way, together, and you should check it out. It's called We Get to Do This, God, the World, and Other Things. And that's what we talk about, God, the World, and Other Things. But we also engage culture. That's really, we do a lot of media deconstruction. We talk about what, you know, some of the false narratives that are out there right now. And we just go there. So we went there this last week on, we called it the Israel conundrum. There's a lot of misunderstanding about Israel and what's going on there. So I want to share something with you. I reached out to Adam this morning in particular about what happened with Venezuela, because there's a lot of narratives out there. Depending on which news channel you tune into, drop into, or whichever one comes on your feed, you're going to get a lot of different stories, right? There's a lot of different narratives. So let me give you some what we would call boots on the ground information. What I love about Adam, he's connected with people all over the world that actually live in these countries, and they send him information. And so this is from Adam this morning. I wrote him and said that I'll be addressing this. He said, no need to spike the ball. I said this, no need to spike the ball and congratulate ourselves. Humility must be exhibited and diligence maintained. I was thinking in terms of how we respond to something that might be tempting to spike the ball and think we scored a touchdown. But at the end of the day, we need to always respond in humility. Amen? Yeah, we want to be proud for our... Well, that wasn't very enthusiastic. So thank you to folks. So a lot of times we see what's going on in the global scene and we feel like we scored a touchdown and everybody gets super excited, and then the next week, you know, it goes south. So I want us to walk in humility and absolute diligence as we continue to keep our eyes on what's going on the world scene. We want to always operate from a biblical worldview and have an intelligent answer to give to people who want to know. So he said this, agreed. And then this is what he said, and this is what's so helpful. He says, the next 96 hours are crucial for the administration to get the resources into Venezuela that are needed. Very impressed with Rubio in all this. I am too. Venezuela has seen a 1.3% inflation over the last 5 years. Can you imagine laboring under it? Well, that's what happens when you have a dictator posing as a president who's really a gangster. That's what we had there. He says, also, Iran, from what I can tell, this is an organic uprising. If you've been keeping up with what's going on, 27 regions, they call them, in Iran, we would say states, in Iran are rising up, and young people are stepping up and protesting at great cost of life. To great danger, great peril. They're stepping up and saying, we're done with this. So, by the way, Iran's economy is imploding right now. And so, as that's going on, he says, this looks to be like an organic uprising. The country's population age is very young, and they've had it. Same story, inflation, energy problems, and severe water shortages. The wheels are coming off the globalist train. Amen. You can clap for that. And then he says this, he ends with this, the counter narrative by the uninformed is, quote, Trump with foreign wars. Listen, that is not what's happening. And he writes, nothing could be further from the truth. And then I love what he said last, Aslan is on the move. Isn't God moving everywhere, family? Things are happening everywhere, and it's all good. So anyway, I appreciated that boots on the ground report from Adam Curry. Good stuff. So I want us to pray. We're going to take a moment. So why don't you go ahead and stand since you're all very comfortable. Let's all get up from our seats. And let's take a moment. We're going to pray for the peace of Israel. Speaking of boots on the ground, Adam and I actually got a video chat, we just got a video from an iPhone from a guy in Cyprus who was on a yacht. I know it's weird stuff, but he reached out to me and Adam. He's somebody who's followed Adam's podcast, No Agenda, for years, and he's Jewish. He's Orthodox Jew. He's lives in London, but anyways, he's all over the place, and he's a doctor. And so he reached out to Adam and wanted Adam to get this message to me. So they reached out. And the reason I'm telling you this is because it has to do with Israel. He's Jewish. And he said, first of all, I appreciate the podcast from the other day called The Israel Conundrum. Because what we're dealing with, a lot of people are confused about Israel. Like, well, if we support them and stand for them and pray for them, aren't we supporting their government? You know, we're not supporting anything that's false. We're supporting that which is righteous, that which is just, and that which is true. Anything else that gets caught in a prayer is good, because if there are things that are not right, they need to be prayed for too. Can I get an amen? You know, when Biden was in charge of our nation, or whoever was, you know, with all that stuff, whoever was really in charge, and we all have theories about that. When that was happening, we didn't stop praying for President Biden and his administration. No, I mean, we're to pray for those who need help. Amen? And so it's the same way with Israel. We will continue to stand with Israel. And he was thanking us, by the way, for standing with Israel. And he was shocked that a pastor would stand in a pulpit and lead his church to pray every week for Israel. Well, we're praying in accordance to God's word. Psalm 122, verse 6, pray. This is a mandate, by the way. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the word peace being shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken, or the integration to the whole, the complete. So that's what we're praying for them. And so whether they're off the rails or not, which, by the way, Dr. Brian from London and Cyprus on a video, he said this. He said, there is an awakening happening in Israel. He said, ever since October 7th, two plus years ago, he said, ever since that happened, he said, it has awakened the next generation and people who had slid away from orthodoxy to come back to God. This is biblical precedent here. Now, our hope and our prayer is that they come back to God through Jesus, right? We want to see them embrace their Messiah. But hey, I'll take the win. If they are turning their hearts back to God, that's a good thing. And could it be because we're praying for that? And other churches and other brave people around the world who have decided not to buy the cultural narrative, but to say, no, there's so much misinformation. Here's what we know. The Bible says. And that's what we're going to stick with. Amen? So why don't we take a minute and pray? We'll pray also, for Venezuela, all that. So glad to get that dictator out, that gangster. And thank you, the Lord, for our president, for having the courage to do what needed to be done. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray together as we cheer. Father, we honor you. And we do pray for the peace of Israel. That's our heart, to stand with Israel. Father, your word, not just the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, but in the New Covenant, in the book of Romans, chapter 9, 10, and 11, you're very clear about your heart for the people of Israel, for the people of Jerusalem and Israel. So we pray for shalom. We pray for peace for that nation. We pray that they will come to know Jesus Christ, the true Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That's our heart, our prayer, but we pray for peace over them as your word directs us. We also pray for our own country. We're thankful for President Trump, for his cabinet, for Mr. Rubio, who has stepped up to the plate on this. And Father, we're thankful for what has happened. We pray that even as the people of Venezuela got up the next morning after finding out what happened, that in a five-hour span, they were able to get in and get out and get it done. And with no loss of life, they got up and they cheered in the streets, Father, because the yoke of oppression is being lifted off of them. And Father, I'm so thankful for a president that had the courage to step up and do it in spite of the narratives that are out there, the false narratives that are out there. Give us wisdom like the sons and men of Issachar to discern the times and understand what to do. So we pray for President Trump, for protection around he and his family and his cabinet. We pray, Father, for Venezuela, Father, for the rebuilding that'll have to happen. This is not the end. This is not the the touchdown at the end of the game. This is just the beginning. So we pray for courage and wisdom as we lead out in the on the world scene. We pray for the church in America. Thank you for revivals and awakening that's happening across, especially in college campuses and now the spillover into high school campuses that's happening among the next generation. Lord, our heart as a church is not to throw water on them, but to throw buckets of fire, buckets of fuel, buckets of petroleum, and whatever it takes to light this fire and keep it going. So we pray for it. And we pray for the churches in our own community right here in Fredericksburg. We pray for a spiritual awakening to sweep across our community and our region. And Lord, why not here? Why not now? And so we pray that. And Father, thank you that when Jesus, one of his disciples, came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus put it this way. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said, amen. Amen. High five somebody on the way down. Once a youth pastor, always a youth pastor. I can't stop it. I cannot turn it off. So I love New Year's Day messages. I love being able to talk about looking forward. I heard this great, profound line. You cannot move forward if you're always looking backwards. That came off of NCIS last night. That was amazing. I thought, it's perfect. But it's true. As long as you're trying to move forward, you can't be looking backward. There's nothing to look at. The only reason we look back is to learn, not to try to live. Does that make sense? And so we're going to talk about moving forward, and we're going to talk about three parts of the body parts today: your head, your heart, and your hands. So we're going to start with the head. Listen to this. We'll talk about the head, but here's what we're going to talk about: renewing the mind. And we talk about this a lot, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it's so important that we need to be reminded constantly that we have this opportunity. First of all, you've been given the mind of Christ. You understand that. We have the mind of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're using it. Amen? Don't hit your number. Don't look at your husband or wife. Just keep it to yourself. But just because we have it doesn't mean we've tapped into it. And the reminder today is to call us back to recognizing, declaring, Father, thank you that you gave me the mind of Christ. And now, Lord, help me to utilize it. Help me to use it. You know, when David's mighty men were being numbered in the scripture in the Old Testament, it talked about various tribes and various groups that were a part of and numbered as David, King David's mighty men. One of the groups, and it was the smallest group, it was a little group of 200. The others were like 30,000, 10,000, 50,000. I mean, these massive groups of people from different tribes. But these 200 were called the men of Issachar. The men of Issachar. And here's what it said about the men of Issachar. It says that they understood the times. They understood the times, and they knew what to do. We need more men and women of Issachar. Can I get an amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you just might be one of those. Romans chapter 2, or 12, verse 2. I'm going to read this in three translations. I love to compare translations, and I think you'll appreciate this. It's a familiar verse if you've been around this church for a while. And here's what it says in the ESV, English Standard Version. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I cannot help but think about silly putty. Anybody ever have silly putty growing up? I'm about to date half of us in here. Okay, a couple of you. And some of you did. You just didn't raise your hand because you didn't want to be numbered among them. But here's the thing about silly putty. Silly putty was a strange, no telling what was in that. You know what I'm saying? This strange putty-like substance almost had a rubber-type feel to it. In fact, you could put it in a ball and it would bounce. But here's what we would do. Remember the day back when they had the Sunday comics back in newspapers? See, I'm totally taking this back. So the Sunday comics were great. You know, you had all the famous stuff, the great stuff. Well, we would take that out of the Lubbock Avalanche Journal where I grew up, and we would take our silly putty, me and my brother, and we would smash it onto the paper, and then you would peel it off, and what happened? It would transfer, wouldn't it? The ink would be on there, and you'd have a backwards picture, right, in reverse of what it was. Well, here's that word conformed is similar to that. It means to be pressed or pressured into. When you conform something, you change its form. Conform, con to fit, like a concave mold. You press it down in, and when you pull it apart, you've got a likeness to it. So it says, do not be conformed, pressed into the mold of this world, is what it's saying. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transformed, trans, changed, form, change your form, change your shape. It says, have your shape be changed, who you are. We're identifying with Christ. We're identifying with him by the renewal of your mind. Now, the renewal of your mind, that sounds okay. It sounds spiritual and all that, but what is it really saying? The NLT nailed it. The New Living Translation did a good job on this. Listen to this, same verse out of the NLT. Don't copy the behavior. See, the copy, the silly putty. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God, there's that word again, transform. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? You think. So we change our form. How we think is how we become. I mean, what we say, what we repetitively say, what we speak, what we declare, what we think actually will impact what we become. Neurology is a big thing right now. Neuroscience, I love studying this. This is one of my favorite things. Here's why I love neuroscience and what I love about the idea of neuroplasticity. That's your brain being able to be reformed, your thinking patterns reshaped. You know what that gives me? Hope. You know, they say that by 6, 7 years of age, you're already imprinted by your parents and your family of origin. And that will now dictate, predicate, and actually promote the way you live the rest of your life. Some of us are still trying to get over it. Can I get an amen? We were imprinted, and it wasn't all good. I was very blessed to have a great family, but I know not everyone does. And I worked for Buckner Children's Home, and I worked with a lot of kids that had terrible situations. And they were trying to shake off. Well, back then, we weren't talking about neuroscience. We didn't talk about neuroplasticity, but the Bible was. The Bible talked about literally that you can change the way you think by the renewing of your mind. By God's life in you, you can actually reshape your brain, reshape the way you think. And how do we do that? Well, we do it by speaking, declaring, and quoting Scripture, the Word of God, making it active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, God knew a long time ago about neuroplasticity. And what we now have is the ability to change the way we think, to transform our identity, who we are, our form, how we identify. We can change that through the declaration of God's word, speaking God's word over our lives. This is something Annette and I learned years ago, and that has never left us. Once we found the power and the ability to speak God's word over our lives, we've never gone back. So, for example, I had a good illustration. It just went. This is what happens when you turn 64, because I'm about to. So, wow, it was so good. Okay, I'll come back to it. I said it in the first service. All right. Do you not remember what I said, honey? Test on the spot. So let's go into another translation. This is the Message translation. Listen to that. It says this. I love Eugene Peterson, Pastor Eugene. He was a pastor who took Scripture. He took actually the original text, but also some of the more popular text, and he rewrote it so that his moving man, who moved him from to Montana to retire, he wanted to make sure that he would be able to read it. So that's why his Bible reads the way it does, his translation or his paraphrase. Romans 12:2. No, I'm sorry. This is out of the Amplified. We'll use the Message in a minute. Amplified says this: do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, there it is again, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. And here, this, I love the way it amplifies this, by its new ideals and its new attitude. Isn't that great? New ideals and new attitude. As we step into a new year, it's a good time to renew our mind. And the beauty of this is you can do this every day. Every day. Oh, I remember what I was going to tell you, so I'm back. I knew if I delayed a moment, it would catch up. So we on our website, it's bridgefbg.com. If you've never been there, you should check it out. There's a lot of resources there, a lot of good stuff, a lot of great stuff about fasting. It's all there. And but we have a special page called Daily Confessions or Daily Declarations. And what it is, we've taken scripture, we've curated a lot of scripture, and then we rewrote it just so it would be in declarative form. So like you could literally speak and declare the word of God over your life. If I'm ever having an off day, I don't know about you, but my bed has three sides that you can get out on, and one of them's bad. You know what I'm saying? So it's just the wrong side. I don't know why, and it changes and moves around, but every once in a while, I get up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm having one of those days, and I will go to bridgefbg.com, and I will click on that page. And by the time I get to the third or fourth scriptural declaration, my mind begins to be renewed, and I find myself being transformed. Remembering who I am in Christ, remembering my identity, remembering that I can move with God at the pace of grace and receiving that life. And I'm telling you, I hardly ever finish the list, by the way. There's about 25 or 30 on there, and you can read through the whole thing. You can do that as a daily practice, and you will renew your mind. Why? By changing the way you think. You will be transformed. By the way, Faith, our daughter who does all of our digital work and everything you see around here, she built that out, and so she also gets all the metrics on our webpage. Did you know, and this surprised me, that is the most visited page on our website, is the Daily Confessions. So I encourage you to check it out. It's a tool. It's there for you, and it's for me too. So it's been helping me. So, a new year requires a renewed way of thinking. We're stepping into the new. We can't be looking back. We can't live back there. We look back there to learn, not live, but we're moving forward. There was a great song years ago when we were in Abilene and pastoring. That was one of our favorite songs, Moving Forward. And it had that whole idea that we are going forward. We're not going backwards. We're not even staying still. We are moving with Him and moving forward. And stepping into a new year, I want to renew my mind on an ongoing basis to embrace what God has in the new. We're not defined by last year's failures. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Or successes. Say amen. Amen. That wasn't quite as enthusiastic. I had a feeling that would happen. Because that's almost confusing. Wait, I thought we are. No, we're not defined by anything except for the Word of God. God says, I'm His son. I'm His child. I'm a king's kid. That's who God says I am. The world will say I'm a lot of other things, which I can't even repeat here sometimes. But the world will tell me I'm these things. I'll be categorized. I'll see kids out in public at HEB, and they're looking at me like, oh, you're the guy up on the stage and the screen. You know, like I'm like, no, I'm just Jimmy. I just put my shoes on like you do. I mean, it's weird how that happens. I remember the first time I met Adam Curry. So for y'all who don't know, Adam Curry attends our church. He and his wife Tina were born again, baptized here. They've been riding with us for 3 years now. And the first time I met him, he was intimidated to meet me. And I'm going, wait a minute, you're the celebrity. You're the MTV guy. He was a VJ for MTV for 9 years. And he was intimidated to meet me. So it was a real fun meeting that we had the first time because he was acting weird. Why? Because he had seen me he had only seen me online. He'd never saw us. So it was like watching on TV. But I'm not defined by that. And by the way, we quickly burst that bubble and became friends, and now we have a good time about it all and a good laugh about it. But here's the thing. I don't want to be defined by my past. I don't want to be defined by failures or successes. Do you? See, if I'm defined by my successes, I'll tend to want to keep doing what got that appearance of success, and it may not at all be along the trail that God is leading me down. God moves. It's all very fluid, by the way, following Him as we walk in His steps. But I don't want to be defined by success because the tendency will be to try to repeat that over and over. And guess what? We get stuck in a loop. So don't get enamored with your own success. Don't let it identify you. Be thankful. Praise God for it. But don't be identified by it. Can I get an amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit reshapes our perspective so we can discern God's will for this season. This is so critical. Perspective, all that means is how you see something. It's the view or the vantage point that you have. I'm looking back there, Faith sitting at that camera. I can look at Faith and see her peeking around the camera at me smiling. And that's what I see. But if that's all I ever see, I don't get to see her in 3D. See, I have to move, and she won't appreciate this, moving out of the camera shot. I get to move to keep you working. And now I see her from a different vantage point. I see her from a different angle. And guess what? It looks different. See, this is what happens when you get a different perspective. And the Holy Spirit reshapes that. He can help us see things different. There may be things that you step into in 2026 that would have scared you in 2025. That you thought, there's no way I could do that. But see, you're not the same person you were last year. You may not be the same person you were a week ago. I hope we're growing. Amen? I'd like to think I'm not the same person. And there may be new vistas, new things, new challenges, new opportunities to embrace in the new year. The Holy Spirit reshapes our perspective so we can discern God's will for this season. Listen, you have to understand that following God is an adventure. It's not static. It's not just one step, two steps. It is moving all the time because He is moving all the time. Like was said earlier, Aslan is on the move, but you got to stay with him to follow him. Key thought, faith begins with seeing the future through God's promises. I call that a biblical worldview, not yesterday's limitations. I want to say it again because this is so important. Faith begins with seeing the future through God's promises, through a biblical lens, biblical glasses, a biblical worldview. Not yesterday's limitations. Man, if you would have told me that I'm doing some of the things I get to do now, I would have said, you are crazy. You are loco in the cabasa. There's no way. I am not that. And yet, God orders our steps. And if we will walk with Him, He will lead us into new things. He will lead us into things that were bigger and more than you would have ever imagined. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Amen? Now, that's the head. Let's talk about the heart. Listen, we know that the enemy weaponizes everything against our heart because he wants you to lose heart. The word lose heart, or the phrase, it literally means to grow discouraged, to be disillusioned, to live in constant disappointment. But here's the thing you have that the enemy doesn't understand. You have history in God. You can recount your history in God and say to yourself, I say it to myself, I would not even be here had it not have been for God showing up. I would not even have the family I have, the church that I get to lead and participate in as spiritual family. I wouldn't be living in Fredericksburg, Texas, which I so appreciate. After growing up in the panhandle of Texas, this is like paradise. So I get to do, but I would not be here if it weren't for the goodness of God. I have history in Him. That's why I don't get bent out of shape when things don't work out perfectly. Why? Because your history in God sets you up to have the right perspective and to reignite your trust. That's what this is about, reigniting our heart, reigniting our trust. Going back and revisiting and saying, you know what? This is how good God is. Because when I was there, God showed up and rescued me, delivered me, ordered my steps, and saved me out of that. And now I'm in a different place because of what He did in my life. And it reignites trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I had several, about five people go, that's my favorite verse. This is a lot of people's favorite verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the New King James says this, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. My bad. Trust in the Lord. And the Hebrew word for all literally means all. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Coming back to the guys, Issachar, they understood the times and knew what to do. Not leaning on their own understanding, but on what God had given them, the wisdom they had. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. That means in everything you do, know Him. Know him. Bring him into everything you do. Everything. Bring him into it. And he shall direct your paths. Another passage talks in terms of ordering your steps and delighting in the details. Listen to this, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord. There's that delight word. That means to take pleasure in. That means to enjoy. Did you know we can enjoy God? Here's what I love what Bill Loveless told me years ago. He said, Jimmy, enjoy God enjoying you. Enjoy God enjoying you. The first time he said it, I had to really ponder that, going, wait, what does that look like? It looks like saying, wow, God enjoys me, and it's okay for me to enjoy that. And it changed my perspective. And he would always sign his text with me on that. Enjoy God enjoying you. Delight yourself. Enjoy. Enjoy yourself and delight yourself. Take pleasure in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. A few statements here. God calls for full trust, not partial surrender. Man, I tell you, it'd be awesome. Wouldn't it be cool if you got an Uber driver in some city you've never been in, and man, you're a little... But on his, he has a plaque up on his mural right where his visor is, and says 85% successful with an exclamation point. And then you're wondering about the 15%. Is this dude a serial killer in the 15%? I mean, but at least 85% of the time, he's going to get me to my destination. Would you stay in that car? Would you? That was a question. Answer. Okay, all right. If you said yes, I'm like, ooh, that's okay. We'll have prayer afterwards for you right here. God calls for full trust, not partial surrender. Well, I got to tell you, man, I love God. I'm a pretty good guy, and I love him 85% of the time. Man, I serve God 85%, but that 15% is mine to do with what I want. It's absurd, isn't it? You know, that surgeon that's going to work on your heart, wouldn't it be awesome if he had a plaque that said 75% success rate? Welcome to my office. You'd say, hey, here's my insurance card. You know, hope this works out. No, you would walk, you turn around and walk out of that place. Partial doesn't cut it. God is calling us to be all in, to go all in with him, to throw caution to the wind, to say, God, I'm yours. This is a good time to do that at the beginning of this year. Fasting helps. A new year often stirs fear and uncertainty, whereas trust anchors the heart. Yeah, there can be some trepidation coming in. I've got to tell you, since our current president was voted into office, 2026 looks a lot better to me. I'll be honest with you. I'm excited about the future. I think things are good ahead. I've got a good outlook. I'm living up in a down world. I mean, it's like, yes, this is a good season for us. Let's do this. But that's not for everybody, and there are people that struggle. But trust is the anchor. Trust. It's the foundation of faith where we trust God. It anchors your heart. When we delight in the Lord, our desires come into alignment with his will. I talked about alignment, I think it was last week. I love that word alignment. There's something powerful. The people you align yourself with matters. When Pastor Brian's up here and he's doing the giving segment of our church where we get to worship through tithes and offerings, you'll notice there's a whole bank of groups, people, ministries that we support, and we weigh those out. We vet those, and there are times when we've come up, and you may see one year, and it's not there the next. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because we want to align ourselves with people who are after God's heart. We want to align ourselves with people who are stewarding well what we're giving them in terms of resources. Just like you want to know that we're stewarding well, instead of spending $8 to $10 million, we're spending $400,000 to get what we need to give the space that we need. But we want to be in alignment with those that we walk with. And listen, this goes for your friendships. It goes for your work partners. It goes for who you spend your time with. And I have to be honest, when I was younger, man, I wanted everybody to like me. I was friends with everybody. I wanted to be that guy. And I wore myself out doing it, and I found myself aligned with people that did not have good intentions for me. And one of the values of getting older is that you can begin to cull through some of that and become more selective to say, who do I want to give my time deposits to? Because I only have so much. And who am I willing to do that for? Who am I willing to do with? Well, it better be people that are in alignment. Does that make sense? But you know what? Walking with God's the same way. We want to be in alignment with Him and in lockstep with Him as He leads the way. Here's another thought. God is not only directing our steps, He is shaping our desires. This is what's so fun about following God. The person tells me it's not an adventure for them, I'm like, then you're not following God. I don't know who you're following, but it's not Him. When you're on mission with Him, life becomes an adventure. It is not boring. Anyone that tells me I have a boring Christian life, I'm going, let's talk about that, because something's not working. Something's not clicking here. And God's not only directing your steps, He's shaping our desires. As you align with Him and you allow Him to order your steps, He actually begins to recreate and shape what you desire and what you want and what you're after. It's amazing how that has changed over the years for me, and how God has, over the years, brought my desires into alignment with Him as long as I'm willing to let Him direct and order my steps. The last thing, the hands. The hands. This is the doing side. This is what happens, what we do, how we respond in obedience to Him. Our hands. Israel stepped toward the Jordan before it parted. Now let me give you a little backdrop. We'll read scripture. Joshua had been given the baton from Moses. You remember? Moses was not allowed to pass over into the promised land. He led them out of Egypt, but it stopped short. And there were various reasons for that. One is that Moses reacted in anger and slapped the rock when God told him not to, and he did. And he created a momentary miracle that actually cost him the joy of stepping over the land. And then in that, God anointed Joshua, his protege, his young man, to come and take his place and to take the people over the Jordan River into the land that was promised. So there was a breakthrough coming, but preparation had to be made. So in that, we see that Joshua 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 are like the pump you up before a football game scriptures, man. You should read that. It'll get you going. It's fire. It's exciting. It's all talking about how God is going to order steps. God's going to take care of him. He's going to make a way. He's going to do all these things. But then we get into the reality of leading a nation over into occupied territory. So there's a lot of things going on here, but they have to cross this river, which, by the way, at the time of year that they did this, scripturally speaking, that was at when it was cresting at its highest. It was peaking out. And so they couldn't just cross the river. They needed a miracle. And God had done a miracle at the sea when He parted it, but now there was another body of water that had to be parted. That's exactly what He did. So in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people. Now listen to this as if he was talking to you. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. When I read that scripture, it went off in me like 2026. Prepare yourselves. That's what consecrate means. It means prepare. In other words, we got to prepare ourselves for breakthrough. Prepare ourselves for what God wants to do. That means so when it happens, I actually recognize that it's God doing it. I don't know about you, but I've prayed for things, and then I forgot what I prayed for, and then God answered it, and I forgot I'd even prayed about it. I didn't even connect the dots between what I was praying and saying and singing and praising and worshiping to what was actually happening in real life. I had a disconnect. But here, listen to this. Israel stepped into the Jordan before it parted. In other words, it was going to part, but they had to be prepared, and they had to take a step of faith and actually step into it before it ever parted. There are things that you are going to face in 2026, and they're going to need to part. There's going to need to be movement. But it won't happen unless you have the faith and the trust, unless you've settled your head and you've settled your heart on the matter that God is good and He brought you this far. Therefore, now I'm going to take another step into it. There are things that you will step into in 2026 that had you not have taken the step, it would have looked like something that was so formidable you couldn't even get through it. But when you take the step, it'll be a smoke screen. The waters will part. You're going to step into some things in 2026 that you've only dreamed about. Why? Because God's with you. He's delighting, and you're delighting in him. Listen to this. Preparation precedes breakthrough. So he says, get consecrated. In other words, in that time, it would have been ceremonially cleansed. I mean, they had a process they would go through to prepare themselves. But they would prepare themselves to walk in obedience. If God's called me to do this, I want to be prepared to do it. Fasting's going to help with that. Now, I love what Pastor Brian said. We're not calling you to a hunger strike. This is not trying to show God how pious we are because we're going to starve ourselves and then he'll feel sorry for us and give us what we want. That's not fasting. That's a hunger strike. What we're doing is we're putting away or aside something that would be a typical distraction for us, whether it's food, whether it's a habit, it's something you do, you're going to make that decision, hopefully in prayer and in walking with him, you'll hear, and you're going to put it aside, and then the time and energy you would have put into that, you're going to put into him. That's what fasting is. And we invite you into that, and that will help you realign. So preparation precedes breakthrough. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if I did, I would assume there's not a human being in this room that doesn't need breakthrough in a particular area. One of the things we've been praying for the last few weeks are prodigals. We've spent weeks talking about prodigals. We did a worship night all focused on prodigals. We got over 700 to 1,000 names of prodigals that you're praying for, and we're joining in to pray with you. And I've had many testimonies come back. Some today come and talk to me after saying, this is what happened. We had a breakthrough. But there's a breakthrough coming, but we need to be prepared for the breakthrough. So when it happens, we'll be in the right heart and the right mind to celebrate that and give God the glory. So listen to this. Small steps of obedience create space for God's power. We tend to think that what creates space for God's power is some epic, dramatic move on our part. Family, I know we get excited about the epic miracles in the Bible, but the Bible was written over thousands of years. That all didn't happen in the same time. These were spread out through centuries. And you need to understand, there may be an epic thing or two in your life, but at the end of the day, it's what we do with every day. And I want to invite you to do something. One of the things that's become the most critical and important and valuable time in my life are the early morning hours. I get up at 5:30 in the morning. Now, I'm not doing that because I'm so pious. It's because that's before everything gets started. That's the only time available. So I get up early, and I get into God's Word every day. And I have a little saying, scripture before screens. So before I open my phone or my computer, check my emails, check texts, whatever came in over the night, I keep it all closed and off, and I spend time with the Lord. And it's not fancy, guys. I'm not fancy with God. I don't pray in King James, Elizabethan English. We only do the Lord's Prayer that way because most of us memorized it that way. But it's a conversation. It's me sharing my heart, opening up to him. It's not fancy. I'm never going to impress God, so why try, right? Just be you. And I talk to him and spend time with him. That has become so precious to me that very few, if you ever ask me to meet early, I may tell you I have an appointment that day. And it's with the King of Kings. It's with the Lord himself. I'll meet with you for lunch. We can do coffee later in the morning, but I may not give away that early morning time. It's precious to me. It's become my lifeline. I would encourage you to begin leaning into what we call, some people call it a quiet time. I just call it my daily practice. It's just my daily thing. But I'm meeting with the person that loves me more than anybody on this planet. And I don't like to give that away. Small steps of obedience create space for God's power. It's the dailies. It's what we do every day. Obedience may mean He nudges you to pay for somebody's coffee when you had no intention of doing it. It can be as simple as buying someone's meal. It can be as simple as giving a word of encouragement to somebody who's working the line at HEB and they look like they're having a really bad day. And you bring a word of life and hope. You got to preach to them. Just bring life. Leak out life. Let your bucket overflow. Speak a kind word to them. It may even look like you letting somebody merge on I-10. Merge, everybody. Merge. That's an old Brian Regan thing. Small steps of obedience create space for God's power. Faith is completed through obedience. There's the old word. It had to be coming, right? James 1:22. I love James because he's so subtle. As a cinder block brick, right? James 1:22. Listen to this. But be doers. Someone say doers. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Whoa. So if I don't do the word, but I've got the YouVersion Bible, I've got 300 translations on my phone, I've got the t-shirt, I've got the bracelet, I've got the bumper sticker, but if I'm not doing anything, I'm just a hearer only, and I am walking in deception. There's a lot of religious people in the world, family. That doesn't mean they're after God. It just means they're religious. One of the commitments I want to make, and I even mentioned this to Brian this morning, is that we treat Sunday morning just as weighty as we treat Wednesday night in terms of discipling the body of Christ. It is not enough for us to just preach a sermon and go eat. Go out of here. It's important that we make disciples. The measure of our success will not be if we fill this place up again. It will be, are we making disciples who know how to make disciples? Are we leading people into the place of God in Christ where they now are so full that they're leading others into the place of God in Christ? If not, then we're not doing what God told us to do. What Jesus said in Matthew 28 when he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And what he really said was, as you are going, disciple nations. That's what it literally says. As you are going, disciple nations. As you are going throughout your daily week, it's those little things like we talked about. James 1:22. Here's the Message translation. I got mixed up earlier. This is Pastor Eugene Peterson. You know, he rewrote the entire Bible. The Message translation is hugely famous. And do you know his church was never over 300 or 400 people? He had a little bitty church. He didn't care. He wasn't counting numbers. He wasn't there for the numbers. He was there to make disciples. And listen to this, the way he writes it. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you are anything but. It's pretty straight. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. See, when we hear the word of God, we now have a responsibility to do something with it. That's the hands part. Head, mind of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Heart, renewed day by day in Him. Hands, that means we put into action what we are learning and what is happening. Amen? We get to do this, we say around here. So here's the last thought. God moves when His people move in faith. All He's waiting for is a move. Make a move. Take a step. He'll meet you there. Last week I did communion and I talked about James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. It's a covenant statement. And it literally reads like this in the covenantal language says, if you draw near to God, then God will draw near to you. He's just waiting for you. So often we say, I'm just waiting for God to tell me what to do. He's waiting for you to take a step. Not in presumption, but in faith. To step into what you already know to do. By the way, pro tip. If you're wondering what you're supposed to do and you're trying to get a word for God's will in your life, here's the best thing you can do. Go back and do the last thing He told you to do. What was the last thing you knew that God told you to do? If you will go back and do that, Trust me, the future will open up. Clarity will come. Just go do the last thing he told you to do. Does that make sense? Is that too practical? I'm just playing. So this is not a year to stand still. This is a year to rise up, step out, and speak out. We're about to cover 6 weeks of cultural engagement on our Wednesday night Walking with Jesus Discipleship Journey. I encourage you to come. Come and be a part of this. We're going to teach you how to see through a biblical lens, through God's word, the world that we are dealing with. We're going to deal with culture. We're going to deal with government. We're going to deal with what it means to live this out in the world in which where you live, where you work, and where you play. And our goal is to make you bold as lions, but gentle as doves. So as we go out, we're going to do what we did last week. We did some declarations, power of the word, renewing. That's neuroplasticity. We're going to get this in us. And so I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet right where you are. And we're going to go out with these declarations. I took these declarations and reshaped them for what we're doing here. We did them a little bit different last week. So same drill. If you weren't here, we're going to put them up on the screen. I'll say ready, read, and we'll start and we'll read them together. So here we go. Declaration number one, ready, read. We thank God for his faithfulness in this past year. We release regret, disappointment, and fear. We choose gratitude over resentment. We look forward with the eyes of faith to what God has for us. We choose hope over fear. We will engage culture with a biblical worldview. We are starting this year strong because we ended 2025 strong. And we step into this new year trusting the Lord with faith, hope, and expectation. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a clap and a shout. Family, we get to do this. And I want to encourage as we step into this new year, let's do this. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for life, that life that is in the word. And Father, as we step into this new year, we embrace what comes with faith, with our head, with our hearts, but also with our hands. Order our steps. Delight in the details of our lives. We trust you in it. If there's anyone here and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to take a step over the line. Like I said, he's waiting for you to make a move. He's chased you, he's wooed you, he's come after you, but now it's your turn to respond. We're going to have a prayer team right up here at the front. And so any of our prayer team, if you all would come on up and stand here and get ready right now, make a move. There you go, come on up. And so we have people ready to pray with you, pray for you. And if you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, you can do that this morning simply by saying, I just want to do what Pastor Jimmy said. I want to go all in. And we'll help you do that. We'll walk with you. Or for any other reason. Maybe you've got a prodigal you're praying for and you want them to come home. We're here to pray for you. So let's close this out. Father, we honor you. And we step into this next year with great expectation. And with a declaration, we get to do this. It is our privilege and our pleasure to honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen, amen. You're not dismissed, but you are commissioned to go out and make a difference this week. God bless you.